Good morning. Are you awake?
Awesome.
I heard a speaker one time that was like, hey, I just want to let you know, if you're really tired and you feel like you're fighting staying awake during my talk, just don't. Just give in. Close your eyes. Take a nap. And I feel that way for you this morning. If you're exhausted because you didn't sleep, and don't fight this. Don't make me feel better. Just close your eyes. I'm going to feel great about that. Okay, I don't really have talents. Like, I really don't have any talents. So when JT goes from the drums over to the piano and sounds magical, I'm like, hi, Curtis. I'm like, what? You can do two things like that? And I just want to say to the band, I don't even know if they're still in their room, but, like, they are talented, right? Right? My heart feels really blessed, but I think the thing that struck me about this band is when they started worshiping, they faded away, and I was allowed to worship also. And so, band, if you're in here, I'm grateful for you this morning. Did anybody pee in their pants this weekend? Yes? I was hoping! Yes! I didn't pee my pants, but I did. Just what'd you say? A little dribble? That's fine. Dribbles are great. I didn't pee, although I did. I laughed so hard. I cried like many, many times this weekend. Katie Kuslick, you almost made me pee many times. Where she's, I just can't. I cannot with that woman. She is the funniest person I've ever met. So I just want you to know also that I'm fully aware that takes a ton to go in this weekend. We had the pleasure of preparing these talks, but I didn't have to do one dish, and I didn't have to think about a recipe. I just had to care about bringing fresh underwear and showing up. And so I just want to say thanks to the Fort staff. I am so grateful. Yeah. We've been in that dish room many, many, many hours in our lives, and so to not have to be in there this weekend was really great. A couple other things. I just need to say thanks, and oh, shoot. I'm a crier. Just, my pastor calls it leaky. It's just, I'm leaky. I just am really grateful that you did this with me this weekend, and I just haven't experienced that many times in life where I did something with women where we were only for each other. There was just no peace of competition, and we prayed against it, but I'm just really grateful. So, geez, if somebody wants to give me a tissue, I'll take it. I won't be the last time I cried to this morning, so that's fine. I am a spoiler alert. I'm just going to, there's an empty box of clean, oh, yeah, I'll take it all. Thanks. Thank you. I should know. I don't know. Okay, we were singing some beautiful songs, so I want to just talk about that really quickly. If you're here this weekend, we didn't acknowledge that you might be here this weekend, and we're talking about shopping your spiritual closet, but you don't know that you have a spiritual closet, and this has all been new to you, and I just want to acknowledge that thanks for coming. And that first song, if you're still like, I don't even know, did they talk about the gospel? I'm not sure what it is. What does it look like? Go on Spotify on your way home and put in, what was that called? The first song? King of Kings? And listen to it. It's the whole thing. And I was really refreshed by that this morning. Then the second song gave away my message, so I don't need to give it. So this is the spoiler alert. The line in there, let us become more aware of your presence and let us experience the glory of your goodness. That is my whole point this morning. So I hope that we're going to come away from our talk more aware of the Spirit's presence in our lives and understanding how we can experience the glory of his goodness in our everyday life. So you don't need to listen anymore. That's the point. I'm a story person. I can get lost in a story. Like, I just want to rewatch Gilmore Girls over and over because it's just like the story of why this is so sweet. I mean, it's messed up. There's lots of messed up stuff, but I can get lost in a story. My dream day happened Labor Day this year. It was hot. And most of my kids were gone, and I went in our pool, which don't get a picture like it's fancy. It's just, you know, little, my body in a pool floaty. but I started a book in the morning, and I finished it in the pool by nighttime. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It was the best. So that's just my dream, right? And it happens. Teresa and I, we have like a similar book vibe, so we're always like sending each other books. Like, I just love stories. And so I tend to camp out often in the Gospels. So if you don't know what the Gospels are, it's the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're the personal accounts of people's experience with Jesus. So this summer, I was feeling a little distant from the Lord, and I was like, this is what happens when I feel a little disconnected to him. I just feel like I need to get away from what the world says, who Jesus is, what other people say he is, and I just need to be reminded of who Jesus is. And so I jumped back in John. I pick one, and I just camp there. And something happened in my heart where I just got so engaged with the characters of the story. P.S. They're real. It's not like a fiction story like my pool story, but it was, they're real people. And I just started to like, I've been doing this thing where I kind of picture like how it would feel if I was there. Like, what would it, I close my eyes and like, what would it smell like? And how would my body feel if I was there? And I just kind of got caught up in it. And then I didn't want to stop. So I just kept going into the book of Acts. And so I just finished reading the book of Acts, and I decided I'm not done, so I'm just going to keep going into Romans. But in a different way this summer, the Lord captured me into the story. And I started actually thinking this summer quite a bit, gosh, I wish I just would have been one of them. It would have been so much easier to just be next to Jesus and, like, you know, that picture of the dust of his feet covering you. Like, gosh, it would just be easier if I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, he's real. And I often, like, I just feel that way, like, gosh, it would be easier to live the abundant Christian life, this thing that people talk about at conferences, and it would be so much easier to experience if I just was with him. But then, like, very clearly, he tells us, Jesus himself says it's actually better for us to not be with him. And so I wrestled with that a little bit this summer. In John chapter 16, the disciples were upset because Jesus was telling them, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave. And they were like physically upset about it, as I would have been. And he said this, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. What? That doesn't feel good. He said, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. Some of your versions say counselor, some say advocate. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then in verse 12, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can even bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. I wrestle with that because I'm like, no, it just seems genuinely easier to be with Jesus. And he tells us, no, it's actually good for him to go. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, in case you didn't catch that. We're going to talk about him this morning. I don't know about you, but life can tend to feel full. Okay, so I have a husband who is just probably undiagnosed ADHD, and I can't keep up with him. I have four kids who are all very, very, very different from each other. I have a home that I care, looks beautiful. I have a job that works with people that I love. And so if everything in my life is going smoothly and well, life feels full. Can you relate? Yes. Can you also relate that nothing is ever going smooth and perfectly, right? And so life feels not only full, but sometimes over full. And I can't, you got this, right? I'm like, I don't got this all the time. I look at our group of friends here and I think about the things, okay, I'm not looking at you guys at all the rest of the morning. just like saw Angie's eyeballs and wanted to cry. I just thought about just this year alone. Okay, we have gone through, I made a little list and it's not cute. We've gone through death. We've lost really close people in our lives and we struggled through their death journey. We've gone through broken family relationships that aren't resolved and are ugly and gross. We've gone through broken friendships. We've gone through physical pain. My son just broke his face, and if he sneezes in the next month, his eyeball will pop out. Like, well, I'm sorry, that was gross. I'm sorry, Anne. I didn't write that in my notes. I don't know why that came out. anyway, the list could go on of the things that are very, very, very real in our lives. And so we live in this constant tension between the reality of living in this fallen world that is full and is hard. And then when we read scripture, we hear God tell us, it is good for me to go because guess what the Spirit gives you? He gives you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and something else, faithfulness, right? And I just feel sometimes like that is a rubber band that's pulling in opposite directions and I don't always feel like they go together. And so when we talked about talking about the mind of Christ and talking about the peace of Christ, part of my spirit went, I want to talk about those things, but I don't know how to always experience those things. I think ultimately my heart to be walking with Jesus and thinking it would be easier to be with him is because what I actually drift towards in my life is wanting an equation. I want A plus B equals C equals abundant Christian life. So what I do, I hope you don't, but I'm sure some of you can relate, is I'm like a dash of reading the Bible, a dash of prayer, a dash of journaling, and a dash of service will equal love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is actually not even close to what the Lord invites us to. I love reading the Bible. I do. I don't love journaling, but I like journaling. I love serving. It gives me great joy. So those things, I'm not just here right now. I'm going to mention them again. Those are not bad. They just aren't an equation that equals the abundant Christian life. But my drift and my tendency, maybe it's my Enneagram type, I don't know, when I'm unhealthy, I want you to tell me that if I have a morning devotion and I don't let my kids wear bikinis and something else, my kids will always walk with Jesus. But that's not what the Lord has invited us into. He's invited us into a crazy adventure, a really crazy adventure that is actually a moment-by-moment walking with him. It was in college I first started to learn about the Holy Spirit. So I mentioned the first night that I met Jesus with Margaret and her finger at the stairs. And I believe I received the Holy Spirit in that moment because I really believe that was an honest, true decision to have a relationship with Jesus. But when I was in college my freshman year, I went to the small little school over in Minnesota, and I was not experiencing the abundant Christian life. But because I came to camp and I went to lab, I knew, well, Gary Wetzel told me I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. So I would do this like thing, like I would go to the bars, which, P.S., I was not supposed to be at the bars. I drove to Indiana, and I got a fake ID so I could go to the bars. You know, by the way, it doesn't work anymore, but I did that back in the day. In the 90s, that was fine. Well, no, it probably wasn't fine. That's not what I meant. But whatever. Okay, I'm stopping. I meant like the driver's licenses weren't as complicated as they are now, so you could easily get a fake ID, but why? I'm not talking about that, so I'll stop. Okay. This is what would happen. I was living not a lifestyle that I wouldn't want my children to live, is what I'm saying. I was making poor choices, and yet I would come back fully inebriated, and I would not forget to read my Bible before I went to bed because Gary Wetzel told me to read my Bible every day. And which is great. But I was not experiencing this abundant Christian life that I saw some of my friends experiencing. And I was really disconnected from intimate relationship with the Lord. But I thought, well, okay, I know how to read the Bible. That's not working. So I probably should start praying. So then I put a prayer practice in my life. And then I served at the Boys and Girls Club. I became a big sister or whatever that thing is. And I sprinkled in the formula because that felt like I could do that, right? And I was not experiencing still that intimate relationship with the Lord. Sophomore year, we mentioned I transferred to Stevens Point where these guys were, and they were already involved in a ministry there called, what was it called at the time? Campus Crusade for Christ. I work for them, so I don't know why I forgot that for a second. Oh my gosh. Anyway, they were involved with the ministry. We call it Crew now. And so I was desperate at that point. The whole nother story of that, but I was desperate to figure out how to experience what I saw other people experiencing. So I jumped in with them and jumped into the ministry and started to learn what they were already learning is just the power of the Holy Spirit and how it was a relationship and not a formula. We'll get there. Okay. At the beginning of the weekend, Anne talked about shopping our own spiritual closet. P.S. I shopped my daughter's closet for this. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know. She reminded us that in 2 Peter, it tells us this. We have divine power that he has given us everything we need for a godly life. And then yesterday, Anne in the morning, she painted that cool picture of, before she read that verse of all the things we get in our salvation, she said it's like a mountainscape or fireworks or both, and I liked that. And at the end of that passage, it said one of the things we get when we enter a relationship with Jesus Christ is the guarantee, the deposit, the Holy Spirit. I know you're on a journey like I am. I learned about it in 1997, how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I still struggle with it like in the middle of the night last night. Okay, so I haven't arrived, but I know that we're on a journey. I just want you to pause and think about what's going on in your personal story this morning. Is there something in your family that's leaving you wanting? Is there some area of tension in your family that's causing you to not experience the abundant life? Is there something at work that immediately pops in your brain when I ask this? Is there a place in your life where you're not experiencing joy and love and peace? Whatever's popped to your mind this morning, I kind of want you to like physically picture yourself, whatever popped in your mind right now, an area maybe where you're not experiencing the Christian life, and just kind of picture yourself putting it in your hands, and let's just like keep that out there for the Lord this morning, and let's ask him to wash the rest of my talk and the things I say over and around and in those things. So as you're picturing that, feel free to even put out your hands. I'm going to pray for the rest of our time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Would you flood this place and even change the atmosphere? Your glory is what my heart like desperately longs for. And so Jesus, would you be here? Spirit, would you speak through me? Take my notes aside if you need to say something I didn't plan. But Jesus, we invite you to show us what it would look like to intimately walk with you. All the things that are in our hands that we need to give to you or we're not experiencing the abundant Christian life, Lord, they're yours. Would you do something unexpected, reshape our minds, bring us peace, and give us what you have for us this morning? Amen. Okay, John chapter 14, let's read this together. If you love me, keep my commands. This is Jesus, P.S., talking to his disciples. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world won't see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. If you just pause, if you don't know Jesus before this weekend, if this is new to you, I still think this is a little strange of a concept to picture that he tells us that he gives us a spirit inside of us, like the Lord dwells inside of you. So it's cool, but it's weird, and I just want to say that's okay. Okay, all this I've spoken while still with you. This is Jesus. This is the part I was talking to where he's like telling them it's good. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The last line in there has caused me to wonder, what does the world give? Like, if he gives us not what the world gives, what does the world give? And this is the quick list I came up with. The world gives me despair. The world makes me disoriented. The world causes me unrest. False satisfaction. I love a gin and tonic to take away all of the things I struggle with, and maybe it would for a moment, but that's not going to solve my problems, you know? So the world gives anger and shame and fear. And when I experience those things, disorientation, despair, unrest, the things that Denise talked about, the voices in our life, the world, Satan, ourselves, when I'm experiencing those things, I told you already, but my tendency is to go back to the spiritual formula. TikTok gives you great stuff. Instagram inspires me. Quotes are awesome. Fall, y'all. And books, well-meaning Christian books, they are constantly giving us advice. I'm with Denise. Keep buying the books. I love them. Those things give us advice on how to make our life better, how to minimize our pain, how to find more joy, and sometimes those things do help us. But Jesus told us that he doesn't give us as the world gives, that he gave us something else, and that thing is his spirit. So how do I experience him? This isn't my favorite when a teacher does this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We're going to do a little rapid-fire theology because I feel like it's important to like see that this is true in God's word. I'm not just making this up. And so what I'm going to do is read through a chunk of verses that tell us who the Holy Spirit is. And what I'm going to put up on the screen is the concept, but I'm going to read the verse. Some of you need to get out your pen, and you need to write down the concept, and you need to write down the verse. And some of you need to put your pen down and just let this wash over you. So freedom as I go. What I would just love is for you to try to engage with what I'm reading, because this is God's word. And it actually changed my whole life. So this isn't just a little bit of boring stuff I'm going to read. This is like real. Does that feel good? Okay, so write or don't. I don't care, but listen. Okay, who the Holy Spirit is. The first thing is this, from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The next thing comes from 1 Corinthians 2:12. "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand what he freely gives us." Holy Spirit helps us understand. He's our counselor. Psalm 143:10. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Next one, he's our comforter. John 15:26, "But I will send you the comforter, the spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about me." The next one, he's our advisor. 2 Corinthians 2:9-10 says, It is written, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God reveals to us by his Spirit." He's our hope. Romans 5:5 says, "And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been freely given to us." I could go on. We could be here for another hour. He's called our encourager. He's called our strength. And these things, though they don't always feel true in my life, are actually true. They're things he offers us. What it is really is him inviting us into personal, intimate adventure with him. When we start to really listen to the Holy Spirit, we understand that we can't actually experience intimacy with him unless we depend on his Spirit. Galatians 3:3, this one convicts me because this is me all the time. "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain these things by human effort?" That's what I'm talking about, that like formula I try to do with a human effort. It's funny because it's not how I measure like my intimacy with my friends. I'm not like, "Well, girls' weekend, check, we did check. You know, it is good for us to be together. I'm not saying that. But we could plan the best girls' weekend. We could go to Cancun. That'd be wild. Yeah. But if we're not intentionally intimate with each other, sharing ourselves and inviting that relationship, it doesn't matter if the girls' weekend has fun adventure. We measure things by like how well we share the intimate pieces of our life. So many of us Christians, we do that formula, but we miss an adventure of walking with the Spirit. I have this really cool way that the Lord has kind of reshaped how I view the Holy Spirit. My husband's allergic to all animals, like everything, but our kids want pets. And so over the years, we've tried different things. We got a hedgehog, don't do it. They're nocturnal and they're pokey, right? But our favorite thing we've done is we've gotten ducks. We get ducks in the beginning of the summer. They live in our backyard all summer, and then we release them to the world at the end of the summer. And ducks are really fun because they follow you around, and they, like, bond to you, and, like, they let you hold them and stuff. But my husband always tells me about his neighbor growing up who tried to have a wild goose as a pet. Yeah? You know how geese are? They're not like ducks. They don't, like, follow you around. I don't know, maybe you could tame one. But most of the geese in my life are wild, and they try to attack my kids and all those things. So there's this book that my husband read a while ago called The Wild Goose by a guy named Mark Batterson. And he says that there was a Celtic concept of the Holy Spirit that they called, and this is not, I'm sure, this, Anne, maybe you know how to say this, Engedeblas. Does that sound Celtic? How do Celtics sound? I don't know. Anyway, well, the concept is that they talk about the Holy Spirit as the wild goose. And it's a much more accurate concept because the Holy Spirit is not to be tamed. He is not linear. He does not work in a formula pattern. He is alive and active in our life, and he calls us into following the wild goose. So how do we do this? I think it's this concept in Scripture. It's called keeping in step with the Spirit. You've probably heard it. It sounds really simple, and it is kind of simple. It's like an invitation is what it is. It's an invitation for minute by minute surrender to the Lord. Galatians 5 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Then he says we experience this intimacy, and the intimacy is this fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I have very few verses memorized. This is one that's pretty great. But this takes faith, and it takes that moment-by-moment surrender. And so I don't want to oversimplify walking with the Spirit. I don't think it's simple. I think it's kind of intense, and it can feel like a wild goose situation. But it is also very simple because he said this is what he gives to us. He's not holding it back from you. He's not waiting for you to do a formula. He's saying, this is what I have for you if you allow me to. And so what the concepts that we learned in college and I continue to live by is just a simple spiritual breathing exercise where I'm not experiencing these things that we're talking about. I pause and I take a breath in and I just confess to the Lord, I'm whatever. It could be, Lord, I know I'm sinning right now. I don't want it. I want what you have. And I confess as I inhale. And then as I exhale, I surrender to him and I invite him to be in control and to give me what I need. And he wants to show up in that moment and give you what you need. And so I wish it was more complicated because then I would feel more in control, but it's not. It's just an invitation of surrender to the Spirit to give you what you need in that moment. I have some examples. Okay, I'm going to start with a good one so you think I'm awesome, and then I'll give you the bad one after that. But I have a son. Okay, what was her name on the porch? Janelle. Is it Janelle? Janelle, where are you? Janelle's reading this book. Is it not Janelle? We talked. Yeah, is it Janelle? Yeah, you remembered right. Woo! Janelle bought a book over here. Then we were chatting yesterday, and what's the sub? It's like about walking with adult children, and the subtitle is How to Keep Your Mouth Shut and Keep Your Door Open or something like that. And I was like, oh, I feel that, oh, deep in my gut. So I have a 21-year-old son who thinks he knows everything right now. His brain is not formed. I'm praying for that, you know? But I really struggle to know how to parent him. And I understand he's 21. I'm not in control anymore. But I want him to experience deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. So I have a constant wrestle of how do I enter. How do I not enter? I mean, I have this with all my kids, but it's been with my son quite a bit in the last 2 years. And he's an awesome kid, P.S. He's not even like a terrible kid, but he thinks he knows everything. So there's a decision he was wrestling with. It recently involved a girl, and I knew exactly what he was supposed to do. And I was just waiting for him to ask me to tell him what to do, and he wasn't asking. So then I was like, well, okay, so I'll get there creatively. So we got in the car, right? I know. Oh, dear. We got in the car. We had a 15-minute drive together, and I was like, this is it, because people have told me before when you ride side by side with a boy, he'll open up to you, so I'm pretty sure this is the moment. And so I was like, okay, here we go, Lord. You gave me what he needs, right? So I started asking him some questions, leading questions to get to where I wanted to go, and it was real clear within a second that I was annoying the crap out of him. You know, he was like, so I did this, what I'm talking about. I just confessed to the Lord really quickly in my heart. I inhaled and I said, Lord, I want him to want you and I want to be involved. What do I do? And then I exhaled and I said, I surrender to you. I need you to give me what I need. And I clearly heard him say, shut up. He did. I don't know if that's how the Spirit speaks to you, but I need to hear it that way, you know? He can't say, like, just be quiet. He needs to tell me, shut up. And so, because I so badly wanted the Spirit to meet my son, I shut my mouth. So then I thought, well, this is how it works, right? Sometime in the next 15 minutes, he's going to really open up his heart to me. Yeah, you know, right? You know that we sat in silence for the next 15 minutes. and he didn't say a word, and never had an opportunity. And then for the next 4 days, I prayed that prayer so many times that the Lord would give me an opportunity. If he just would listen to me, he would know. And he told me to shut up so many times over 4 days. And I experienced peace because I trusted that, like, the Lord would give me what my son needed. And I experienced goodness. And he actually did end up making the right decision. And I think that he actually dealt with that with the Lord. Like, he's not like abundantly walking with Jesus, but he's wanting what God wants in his life. And so I was able to trust God, and I'm just really grateful, right? Okay, but I think I learned that because here's the other side of the story. A couple weeks before that, I was in a really heated argument with my husband, Mark. I was right, obviously. Right? You know. Mm-hmm. But we were past that point. We were getting to the point of hurting each other with our words, you know? And I felt it. I didn't like it. I didn't feel peaceful. I did not feel any of the things that the Spirit says he gives. And so I did that. I breathed in and I said, Lord, give me what I need in this argument right now. I need you. And then I exhaled and he said the same thing to me, shut up. And I knew he was telling me to be quiet. And I did for about 10 seconds. And then I thought of one more really good point. Like, and it was really good. So I thought, well, I don't want to deprive him of this great point. So I did not listen to the Spirit. And you know that argument did not end in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It ended up with hurt and apologizing the next day. And it wasn't cute. I didn't experience the goodness of the Lord. And he gave me the same thing in both situations. So I get a choice to participate. Does that make sense? Okay. So those are past examples. I'll give you a current, ongoing example in my life. And I will cry. So here we go. So my parents didn't know Jesus. I told you, they brought me up here and reminded me all the time, we don't believe what Fort believes. And so when I started really walking with Jesus, I started earnestly praying for my parents. And I believe that because God loves them, that he would eventually open their eyes to understand the gospel. And so for 20, 30 years, I earnestly prayed for my family. And 5 years ago, my dad passed away, and I don't know that he trusted Christ. And it has messed me up. I really struggle with believing God's goodness. Because I ask for a good thing, you know, something that aligns with what he wants. And I didn't get to see that happen. Now, there's a piece of me that trusts that he's sovereign and he could do whatever he wants. And so, but I sensed in these 5 years the Lord inviting me deeper into the spiritual breathing exercise where I'm like wrestling on a deeper level with, do I really believe these things to be true? And so I just want you to know I'm a fellow sojourner of trying to experience the presence of the Spirit in my life. And I could actually share with you some really cool stories where I asked for something very specific and the Lord has provided. And so I've seen God's goodness. I've experienced God's goodness. I've experienced his peace. I experience joy when I think about my dad. Like, my dad was the best, you know? But I'm in it. Like, I'm really in it with the Lord. Because people get up and they give testimonies and they tell about how they prayed for these things for the whole life. And then it was this beautiful bow that happened, you know? And I don't have a beautiful bow. But I still really want the presence of the Lord in my life. And so I'm just in this, like, constant place of, like, God, keep me. Keep me. You know? You say you want these things in my life. You say you provide these things. Like, they're at my access at the moment. So you got to do it. And so I'm constantly breathing in, going, I don't know, I don't believe it, but I want you. So I surrender. And he meets me a lot. Obviously, he still feels tender, you know. I think that's okay. We heard some really cool testimonies this weekend that ended in really cool things. But some of you in this room are with me, like, you have similar stories that didn't end with a bow. And I just want to say that the Spirit wants to meet you there. Like, he longs to be intimate with you, and he's inviting you on this wild goose chase. Okay. right? But this isn't bad. This isn't bad. Like, the Lord is meeting me in deeper, deeper ways that I want Him. I want to be more closely connected to Him and more intimate with Him and growing when I'm on my deathbed. I still want to be growing, and that means that I don't just do a formula, but I, like, invite this living, active thing in my life. So really, that's the point, but I have a couple of side notes I want to end with. I have a daughter, Ellie. She's our oldest. She's an awesome human being, but she is stubborn and strong-willed, and she doesn't love experiencing emotions. She likes, she really is much more of a cognitive person. But I'm a missionary. We've been in full-time missions since they were born. We were on staff here, and then we've been in campus ministry the majority of our life. And so Ellie has been drugged to 1,000 retreats, you know. So, like, since she was born, she's been in this, a setting like this where she's heard testimonies and speakers talk about the feeling of the abundant life, and she really struggles. She has never felt, emotionally felt, this thing we call the intimacy with the Spirit. But what I see in her is her experiencing the Spirit in different ways all the time. Like, she has thoughts that are from the Lord, and she has thinking, and the way she engages with her brain and with people, I see the Spirit meeting her there all the time. And so I just want to say that if you're in this room and you're that person who comes to these retreats and you leave thinking a little bit like, I don't know, I've never felt that feeling, that does not mean the Spirit isn't active in your life. And I would encourage you to look at who you are. How has He created you? He's probably meeting you in a unique way for your personality. The five of us experience the Lord in super, super different ways, right? And so, like, there's freedom for you not to have the same emotions as me or the person sitting next to you or anybody. But I do know that the Spirit wants to meet you exactly where He's created you to be met. And so I just want to take that off the table. This isn't a comparison thing. This isn't a feeling thing. Although he does meet our feelings. But does that make sense? Okay, I will keep going on that. I also want to say this, it's not magical. It isn't, okay, what a cool story of Connie upside down in a crevasse. Did you love Anne said crevasse and Connie said crevice? And I was like, oh, their personalities are out and I loved it. Anyway, Connie's upside down in a crevice and she, like, experienced peace, right? Like, what a cool story, but it's not always magical. I just want you to know this isn't a magic pill that you inhale and confess to the Lord what you need, and then you surrender to Him, and immediately you feel peace in a crevice, you know? But He does do that sometimes, and I want you to ask Him for that, but it isn't magic. He meets us in different ways. So this is some of the ways I just thought maybe he meets me and some of the stuff we've seen this weekend. So He does, like, give us peace sometimes when it doesn't make sense to have peace. You know, like, I watch the kids at girls' camp standing on the water mat, and it's, like, moving. And sometimes, like, your situation doesn't change, but you ask for peace, and then you don't feel exactly like you're on the water mat. You just maybe feel like you're on the ground. Your circumstance didn't change, but maybe your footing changed a little bit. Sometimes He gives you a new thought. I was thinking about Anne and how He gave her a new thought from a bulletin board in a junior high, right? Like, He met her in that moment, and He changed her mind. Sometimes He helps us think about things differently. Like, Denise walked into the domes and into that biodome, and all of a sudden got this cool new picture of the sanctuary of the Lord, and He met her in that moment. That's experiencing the Holy Spirit. Abby, like, in the middle of labor with COVID and all the things that she shared with her story, like, God gave her a trust for Him that was supernatural. And we could go on and on of the stories in your life where you've experienced Him, but I just want to take the myth out. It's not always going to be a magic bullet major feeling, but he will meet you in these ways, and He promises us that His fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't want you to be discouraged that you can't muster those things up, because you cannot. He tells us that He can. And so it's just this minute-by-minute surrender thing where we remind ourselves, I can't muster these things up, but the Spirit can. Jesus, I need what You have for me right now. I surrender to You. And then we just get to trust Him. And then I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit might be a nice little system in our lives, like a red flag situation. You're not experiencing joy. Maybe you're trying to do it on your own. Pause, let him know, and ask him to give you what you need. You're not experiencing goodness. This is my heart all the time. God, I don't know if you're good. I just don't know. Warning sign, I'm probably trying to figure it out on my own. Would you help me? Help me surrender. So just a couple quick caveats. My husband, as I was practicing this talk, he said, oh, I just got this cool picture and I loved it. He said, I'm picturing the Holy Spirit's like a river and it's flowing, and it's flowing into the bucket of your life, but the bucket of your life has a lot of holes because you're a human being. And he doesn't promise to plug up the holes or fix the holes, but he promises that he is overflowing enough that you can be filled even with the holes. And so that's like, oh, that's so refreshing to me. Like, you have everything I need to be filled. I don't have to try to fill the holes, but I can just trust and ask you to fill me. So as you head back home, I just want to invite you into the wild goose chase. If you haven't experienced that before, if this is new to you, just try saying, like, I don't know what I need right now, Lord, but I want to surrender to you. And if you've been practicing this for a long time and you're like, spirit-filled life, I got it, I've been figuring that out, then I just would ask you to ask the Lord to take you deeper. What could it look like, Jesus, to trust you in a fresh way? Is there a place that I'm trying to plug up a hole that I don't even know? You know, like your finger's down in the hole and you don't even realize because it's been there for a long time. Just ask him, like, what is it, God? What is it that you have for me where I need to surrender to you? Because I promise you that the abundant Christian life is worth our surrender. It's worth all of the things. And I don't want to minimize that life is hard, but I do want to not shy away from the fact that I think the Lord wants to meet you. So all the things that you held in your hands that are going on in your lives, I want to continue to offer them to him and ask him to give us what we need. So that's what I'm going to ask him to do before we finish. Jesus, you know every story in this room. You know of the thing that is going on in our lives that feels the tension of longing for heaven and the things that you give us and then the reality of what's happening in our lives. And all of those things in this room are different. But you see them all. Okay, that actually weirds me out, Jesus. You know what's going on in every heart in this room, also in mine, and you care enough to meet us and give us what we need individually. That's ridiculous. And so, Jesus, as we walk away from here and we walk back into our regular lives, which sometimes is harder than we think it's going to be, would you remind us that you want to meet us? You want to help us change our minds when we're in a downward spiral and we're thinking of things that are not of you and we can't get ourselves out? Jesus, give us the imagination that Ann called for to imagine what it would like to surrender to you. And Lord, when it feels like unrest is all around and we are desperate for that sanctuary spirit, would you meet us? Would you give us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and something else and self-control? And would you meet us that we might experience intimate adventure of what it means to walk with you and keep in step with the Spirit? And Jesus, if we don't know what that is, would you give us somebody in our life that can walk that through with us? Bring us to the right person, bring to mind who we should chat with, bring us to mind who we need to confess something to. Lord, give us what we need to actually experience the abundant Christian life. Jesus, we love you. I love you. And I want more of you. I want more of you for me, and I want more of you for these women. And Jesus, ultimately, because I want lost people to know you. And there's people in our life that need to experience the fruit of the Spirit through us. And so, Jesus, would you have your way in our lives that you might be glorified, that people might see you and know you, and that we might experience you more deeply. I pray these things in the precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen.